The Tarlehurst End Podcast.
We the blog
on thetarlehurstend.com.
Hello and welcome to the Tarlehurst End Podcast Extra in association with Get Reading for Friday, January 30th, 2015. My name is Dan Wimbush, editor of thetarlehurstend.com, independent Reading fan site and blog. And I'm joined, as always, by Get Reading's Reading reporter, Charles Watts. Charles, how are you?
I'm very good, Dan. Yourself?
Yeah, not so bad, thanks. Two games since we last spoke and unbeaten.
Unbeaten,
those
I know.
Two. Nice, positive week into the hat for the fifth round of the FA Cup. And still 7 points from safety, I suppose, if we're looking at it in a positive light.
Yeah, it wasn't the worst week. I think, obviously, everyone would have wanted 3 points from the Millwall game, especially how it panned out with Millwall going down 10 men. But looking at it objectively now, I suppose, a good, very good cup win away from home and a point on the travels away in the Championship. Finish it off with 3 points tomorrow, and you've got to say it's probably been a decent 7 days.
Yeah, do you think Reading got what they deserved in both those games?
Yeah, I think they did. They didn't deserve to win at Millwall. They were pretty dire, to be honest. It wasn't good. They just didn't really know how to play, how to break Millwall down once they went down to 10 men. It's a bit of a familiar theme when Reading seem to come up against a team that have got less players than them. They just really seem to struggle. And Reading aren't the only side to do that. You see it sort of up and down the country, but they really struggled. They never looked like they were going to score in that second half against Millwall. I think Millwall were fairly comfortable. In fact, they had the best chance of the game when I think it was Hoyfeldt's header, which Feds did well to tip over. So, yeah, no, they deserved no more than the point at Millwall, and they thoroughly deserved the win at Cardiff, I felt, for a very, very good second half performance, and showed a lot of fight, a lot of spirit to turn it around, and Howe obviously came off the bench and popped up with a very good winner.
Yeah, it's been an interesting week listening to Steve Clarke's post-match comments from both those games. On the first, he's taken to defending Robson Kanu, who obviously then goes and puts in a stinker, and then followed it up by when he's dropped Gareth McLeary from the starting lineup. Obviously, you ask him, fair enough, why he's been left out of the side, and he didn't take too kindly to that question, did he?
No, he didn't. It was very spiky on Tuesday night. He's not the only manager who's done that. I remember Nigel doing it after the Blackburn game this season. They don't really like their team selections questioned. But I mean, like you said, it was very, you know, those questions had to be asked really when Gareth McLeary, pretty much the star man of the team, you have to say, especially when you consider what he did in the last league game at Fulham, how impressive he was. It was certainly an eye-opener when his name wasn't on the team sheet. And when you fail to win that game, those questions are going to come. And, you know, experienced manager like Steve Clarke, I'm sure, accepted that and knew it was going to happen, but he didn't take too kindly to it. But he was in much better form on Thursday when we were down the training ground. I think he'd sort of calmed down a little bit after that. I think he was just a little bit probably angry with the result and the fact his team hadn't done the business and kind of took it out on the reporters. But like I said, a very justified question, and he seemed to have calmed down yesterday.
Yeah, well, yesterday was Clark's last real opportunity to speak to the media before Monday's transfer deadline. All Reading fans want to know is, are we going to see any fresh faces at the Wadeski?
Well, he wants to. He wants a couple in. He's saying certainly one, but maybe two. He wants them in before Monday, though. He said he'd rather have a chilled out Monday with his feet up and watch all the madness unfold. And you've got to think, are they going to be able to do that? They've got one working day left to do that, and that's today. And we're already, an hour and a half into what you consider a working day. And nothing's happened. And tomorrow, obviously, is going to be a match day. You can't see much happening then, and Sunday. So it'd be surprised to see anyone arrive before Monday, but he seemed to suggest that's what he wants to do. I haven't heard any inkling that anyone is close. Obviously, we've had the blow with Glenn Murray, which sort of broke yesterday, signing a new deal with Crystal Palace. So you've got to think, for now anyway, certainly the next few weeks, that one's off the agenda, and Redden have hopefully looking elsewhere, and Steve Clarke says they've got other targets up front, and you kind of hope that's true now, because Glenn Murray doesn't look like it's happening. So I guess we'll have to wait and see. It's going to add to an exciting Monday. I guess we're all going to be glued to TV screens, glued to telephones, glued to internet connections. It's the joys of transfer deadline, though.
Yeah, talking about Glenn Murray, Alan Pardew's obviously picked up a notebook from his predecessor at Sellers Park, Neil Warnock, because the way he's stockpiling strikers there at the moment is straight out of the Neil Warnock playbook.
Yeah, it's a weird one. I mean, Amiobi, yes. Amiobi's a weird one. Is he any better than Glenn Murray? Not for me. I think there might be something about a coaching role in that with Amiobi as well, that maybe that's more of the reason that he's gone there. But yeah, I mean, he's got plenty of options. And I'll tell you what, if Dwight Gale's not going to be playing any football anytime soon because of that, then rather than looking at Glenn Murray, Wren should be banging a door down, seeing if he's around for a few months, because he's the exact sort of striker that I'd love to see Wren in land.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Not heard any other names in the frame then? No other whispers? Also, we had a few weeks ago the likes of Vaz Tay and Maynard and people like that. They're all dead in the water.
I wouldn't say dead in the water. I'm not sure they were ever in the water in the first place, to be honest. But
safe and dry land.
I really can't. I can't give any notes. Just absolute silence coming from Redden. So they're either doing their business very, very quietly, or they haven't done it. They're not doing any business. I hope it's the former. But no, it's just really, really quiet. And I just hopefully they're going to spring something out of the blue and surprise us all, because the clock is ticking. And I think it's safe to say they do need a couple of additions. I don't think, if they don't sign anyone, I don't think they're going to go down. I'm still not buying into this whole relegation fight scenario. I think Redden will be fine. They've got too many good players, and they've certainly got too good a manager to go down. But if they don't sign anyone, it's going to be just a continuation of what's been a long, arduous season with very few moments to sort of get you off your seat and get you excited. And like you said to me on Twitter earlier this week, which I thought was a great tweet, that there's not going to be many people buying the 2014-15 highlights DVD, and you're spot on with that one. Is certainly a season that you want to sort of throw on the scrappy as soon as it's done and just move on. But it would just be nice to get a couple of good attacking additions in, just to give us a little bit of excitement over these last few months, because Steve Clarke has sorted it out at the back.
Absolutely,
certainly looks
yeah.
like he's sorted it out at the back. It's tightened up. Now it'd just be nice to do a little bit more going forward, and to do that, I think they do need a couple of fresh faces on board.
Well, you want to get fans excited. You want to get fans anticipating good things when they go to the ground. And I'm just speaking purely from a personal point of view, but I go to Modestia these days and I'm very much expecting low-scoring affairs. I think, you know, the stat earlier this week we put out was, I think it's 9 goals in the last 11 league games.
Yeah.
I've not seen Reading score at home in about 2 months because I missed the Norwich game. And it's just not inspiring. And yeah, getting a couple of additions, it just gets everyone excited. It's like, oh, I want to see what this player can do. And Reading may not have been very active in bringing players in, but they have started to make movements on the out column. Thankfully, Royston Drenter is finally gone. We celebrated that joyfully on the main edition of the podcast on Monday. I don't think anyone was sorry to see him go, except for, I noticed one person on Twitter earlier this week seemed to be advocated that we should have kept hold of him. But I think they're in the minority. I think it's good to see Royston off the books, and hopefully that frees up some wages.
Yeah, no, I don't think there can't be many people who regret seeing Royston leave. It was just a abject failure from start to finish, that one, wasn't it? It was a very costly failure as well.
Bagged on his debut, though, didn't he?
Sorry?
Went and bagged on his debut for his new Turkey.
I know, what a goal as well. Typical, wasn't it? It's like he tried that about 50 times at Reading and hit a corner flag with every single one. And then he goes and pings on in the top corner on his debut. But whatever he does at Turkey, if he goes on and does well there and scores goals, that doesn't make any difference, really. It was just a complete failure here, and he wasn't a good person to have around the squad. And They needed to get rid of him quickly, and they've done that, and it's a big boost for Reading to get rid of him.
Yeah. And, sorry, go on.
No, I was just saying it was. I don't see anyone can be shedding any tears about seeing him leave. It's time to move on that one. Draw a line through it and quickly move on.
Absolutely. Well, someone else that's left the club, and this one surprised me a bit, Charles. Dom Samuel's been allowed to go out on loan to Coventry. It is to the end of the season, although Reading do have a recall clause after 4 weeks. But considering the lack of depth, and we've been talking about this, the lack of attacking options right now, this one surprised me.
Yeah, I think I said it yesterday on Twitter. It was almost banteresque from Reading, and I did apologise for using the word banter as well on Twitter. But it was brilliant that you got all the fans desperately crying out for a striker, and so Reading go and ship one out. It was classic stuff. It was a little bit of a surprise, but he wasn't going to get much game time. I don't think, even if, say, Pod got injured, he'd have been using Blackman up front or putting Cox up front. I don't think Dominic would have been getting any sort of game time, no matter what happened at Reading. So it was, you know, it's a good move to get him some senior football. Like you said, there is a little break clause. So if things do suddenly take a turn for the worse and we suddenly get hit by that injury bug again, like at the start of the season, then maybe they'll call him back after 28 days, but I highly doubt it. I think it would take an awful lot to see him back before the end of the season, and it'd just be good to see him get some sort of 3 months senior football under his belt at Coventry. So as kind of eye-catching as it was that they've let a striker go, I'm really not too surprised, and I do think it was a good move.
Yeah, I think it would be very good for the player in the long term, so he does need some games. We've talked all the season about how a lot of the Reading younger players haven't got that league experience.
No, and I think a few more will follow him out as well in the next couple of weeks. I don't think he'll be the last one. You obviously, Craig's gone out recently, done very well on his debut by all accounts at AFC Wimbledon. Dom's followed, and I think we might see a couple more go, like even Ryan Edwards, Aaron Cole, people like that. There's just not really much point them having got the taste of senior football at the start of the season. It's not much point in going back to the under-21s now and playing every so often. It would just be good to get some senior football under their belts.
Absolutely. And speaking of Craig Tanner, we joked last week about him and Akin Fenwer. Did you see the picture that was posted on Twitter about Tanner's shirt next to Akin Fenwer?
I didn't see that.
Go over to thedarlesend.com and click on our Tweets of the Week piece. You can see it. Someone who was obviously going on a tour pre-match took a photo of Tanner's shirt next to Akin Fenwer, and I think the caption was something like, "Oh, this new signing's not very big, is he?" Brilliant.
Our resident Reading fan in here, Hugh Fort, I'm sure you've seen some of his pieces on the website. He's just like got this almost man crush on Akin Fenwer. And he was, when Tanner went there, he's desperate to see a photo of Akin Fenwer bench pressing Tanner.
Yeah.
I'm not sure we've got to that point yet.
No, well, I said you can find out that picture, head over to tatlesson.com. It's the Tweets of the Week column. Always some entertaining stuff in there. But another person that could be out, either on loan or permanently, and this one's in the rumour column for the time being, is Danny Guthrie, who posted a bit of a weird tweet yesterday that was swiftly deleted. He posted out a number and said, "For agent inquiries, phone this guy." The tweet was swiftly deleted, but it didn't stop former Get Reading reporter Johnny Fordham tweeting his own message that apparently Guthrie had been told by the club that he was allowed to go on loan or on a permanent basis, that the club had given their blessing for this. Charles, you've obviously spoken to the club. What have they had to tell you on this matter?
Well, I've certainly been told categorically that the club have certainly not given him any permission to go out on Twitter and tweet about sort of his agent and tweet about moving away from the club. So that's what I understand from Reading, but I can certainly see what Johnny's saying, and you look at Guthrie and think, is he going to be playing much football now, certainly with Shalaba's arrival, and he's a big earner, and I can certainly see Reading wanting to get him off the books. So I think there's probably legs in this one. It'll be interesting to get Steve Clark's reaction on it tomorrow at the game, after the game in his press conference, because it'll certainly be a question we're asking, and it'll be interesting to get his reaction and to see what happens in the next couple of days. But you got to look at Guthrie, and like I said, is he going to get much football? Is it really worth him sticking around? And if Reading can get his wages off the books, certainly for the next few months before his contract runs out in the summer, because he won't be getting a new one in the summer, then you probably think it's a decent deal. And it just kind of continues this wage shredding that they're doing at the moment, that they're still working on. They're still trying to get things sorted after the Premier League era and the Zingarevich contracts. Guthrie was obviously one of those. So, no, I think there's certainly something in that one.
Yeah, I don't think it would be a massive loss to see him go. I think he's had flashes of good form here, but I think he's only started 50 league games in three seasons. And
well, you look at this season, and this season has been an absolute write-off for a minute. He's barely played any football. He can't seem to get himself fit. He doesn't look fit when he's here anyway. For me, it looks like he's put on a few pounds, and it's not worked out. And it's another one that you can kind of, certainly in the next few months, if not in the next few days, you can be able to draw a line through and think, yeah, that one didn't work out.
Yeah, speaking of expensive contracts that aren't working out, Anton Ferdinand, what is the latest on his injury?
Well, apparently he's getting there, Steve Clark said, but they're not taking anything for granted, given his recent record. I think he's been working hard on the training ground, he said yesterday, but I don't think he's in contention for the weekend or anything like that. But slowly, Steve Clark said, and they're just desperate to get a run of games into him rather than this sort of monotonous routine which is going on at the moment with Ferdinand, which is get injured, start working his way back, get close to coming back, then getting injured again. I think they're desperate to change that routine and just get him playing. So I think we'll see him. Hopefully, they'll just do everything very carefully with him this time and try and get him back fit. But I don't know. I don't hold my hopes out that we'll be seeing him playing regularly in the heart of the defence.
No, I wouldn't bank on it. And speaking of other injuries as well, Chris Gunter, it was initially thought he might only be out for a game, but it's looking a little bit worse for him. What is the latest?
Yeah, I think you're looking at a few weeks with Chris. He rolled his ankle, obviously against Cardiff. I think they were hoping it was just going to be possibly the Millwall game he was going to be out for. But Steve Clarke was saying a few weeks yesterday, Chris, I think, hopes that it's not going to be bad and he'll be back soon. So I don't think it's not. I didn't get the impression it's some, you know, torn ligaments or anything like that. I think it's just it's. I think we'll probably certainly a fortnight, maybe 3 weeks, we'll see him back.
Excellent. Well, tomorrow brings Sheffield Wednesday to Manesky Stadium, a team that have got the bit of a hoodoo on us in recent games. I suppose it's just desserts for the way we were constantly stuffing them back in the day. But they come to Reading tomorrow with one of the best away records in the Championship, and with Reading's lack of goals, I'm going to go out on a limb and say I'm not expecting a goal fest tomorrow.
No, I think they've actually got the best record in the Championship, Stevie Clark was saying yesterday, which I honestly hadn't really looked at, and I was really surprised.
I think
surprised.
It's only nine goals, I think, they've conceded this season.
It's unbelievable, isn't it? So, I mean, but they're having a good season. I mean, they're not that far off in terms of the sort of playoff picture, are they? So, no, it's going to be a difficult game for Reading, and like you said, you don't envisage it's going to be a goal fest, given Sheffield Wednesday's record on the road and Reading's record everywhere in terms of scoring. So, no, I think it's going to be a tight one. I don't think Reading are going to get beat, but then you look at my predictions record in recent weeks and it's been dreadful, so that doesn't really hold much. But no, I think it'll be a difficult game for Reading. I think every game is going to be difficult for Reading at the moment because they're just not going to score many goals and they're not going to look too threatening, so they've got to kind of rely on set pieces and decent deliveries from out wide, which we've not seen too many of those recently, and hopefully Pod can get in and around something in the box and do some damage, or Gareth McCleary, who I sincerely hope will be reinstated to the starting lineup and fully expect him to be, can work a bit of magic and score out of nowhere. So yeah, I think it's going to be a tough one. It's not going to be one that's going to get many people excited, but it'll be a tight one, probably separated by the odd goal, maybe a one-goal game.
Yeah, Sheffield Wednesday, 11 goals they've conceded on the road this season in 13 games, bettered only by Middlesbrough.
Is it 10
on the road? Bournemouth have also only conceded 11 away, but they've scored 32, so I don't think it really matters for them. Bournemouth as well, a team splashing the cash. You see they're linked with a £3.5 million bid for the man who tore Reading apart and cost Nigel Atkins his job pretty much, Damari Gray.
I know, I saw your tweet again on that saying you can't really call them small little Bournemouth anymore when the money they're spending. Yeah, and fair play to them. They got them. You know, the guy behind the scenes there has got the money, and he smells the Premier League, and he's trying to make sure now they've given themselves this opportunity they'll do it. And you know, Damari Gray is one of the most highly rated players in the country at the moment, certainly in the lower leagues, and we all saw what he can do up at St Andrews. So yeah, if they manage to get that one over the line, and I think they'll have to beat a couple of Premier League clubs if they're going to do that, then it'll be one hell of a signing for them.
Yeah, absolutely. It looks like they got the Russian with money as opposed to Reading, who got the Russian with no money and all flash. But anyway, so right, time to put... You mentioned your prediction record. It unfortunately, once again, didn't go so well at Millwall. You predicted a 2-0 Reading win. You weren't alone. The other Westy and Johnny both predicted wins. I went for a 2-2 draw, so I was wrong, but nudge ahead of Johnny with a correct result. So what are you going for this week?
I almost dread doing this now. I'm so bad at it. I am going to say 1-1.
1-1. Okay, it has been logged. I'm going to go... In fact, we've already done our predictions for Sheffield Wednesday, so I can't remember even what I've predicted. Oh, no. We haven't even done our Sheffield Wednesday predictions. Fair enough. I didn't log them down. I'll get them from the other guys, but I'm going to go for a... I'm going to go optimistic, and I'm going to go 1-0 Reading win.
I will take that. It would be a good week if they do that. If they can't get 3 points tomorrow, I think it'll be a decent week.
We did log them, sorry. I predicted a 1-0 on Monday as well. And Johnny went 2-1. Westy went for a 0-0. So there you go. Right, we'll see those predictions and update you on Monday with the main edition of the show. But Charles, anything in particular coming up on the website? Is there any other interviews I can try and spoil?
Yeah, you totally ruined that one last time, didn't you? I had a good chat with Nathaniel Chalobah yesterday. First time I've had the chance to talk to him. That's literally just gone online before I got on the... Well, some of it's just gone online before I got on the phone to you, actually. So that's up there right now. Impressive young man, I thought. He was first time you speak to some of these sort of younger lads, you're not sure how it's going to go. And I think the first question, he didn't kind of answer it very well, and you thought, oh no, it's going to be a bit of a quiet one, short answer, it's not the best interview. But it really sort of mellowed out as it went on, and I was quite impressed with him. He had some interesting things to say about why he chose Reading and Steve Clarke and sort of life on loan, because he's had a pretty nomadic career so far. I think it's 5 clubs in the last couple of seasons he's been on loan to, and so that's online now. Obviously, you've got transfer deadline day on Monday. I'll be here with the pizzas being delivered to the office, and won't be leaving until it's all done and dusted. So that stay tuned to the website throughout the whole of Monday for all the latest as soon as I get it in terms of Reading, and just I'll be covering everything else in the Championship as well. And yeah, just normal stuff next week.
Absolutely. Well, head over to getreading.co.uk. I can't let you go without a quick word on the FA Cup draw as well. I'm putting this down as the most predictable draw that could have possibly happened. Another trip to Derby on Valentine's Day. Your other half must be delighted.
Yeah, rubbish. What a rubbish draw. I mean, it just was rubbish, wasn't it? As soon as it came out, it was just like, oh. Yeah, I mean, if it was at home, it would have been kind of bearable, but it's going to be a very difficult game for Reading to get through that. And you just felt after 2 away games already to Championship sides, they deserve something a little bit more than that in the draw. And Gary Lineker completely failed us, didn't he, with that one. And you've got to think, if Derby are going to be massive favourites for that one, it's going to be very difficult for Reading. They've already been turned over twice by them this season. And for them to go to the iPro and win will be difficult. But you never know. They certainly, if they can play like they did at Cardiff last week, they'll give themselves a chance.
Yep, third time's the charm. Right, well, time to wrap this one up. We'll hopefully be back before next week's game. And also, you can check out the next main edition of the show up on Monday, we hope. Also, please remember to subscribe to the show in iTunes. It's the quickest way you'll get both shows straight to whatever device you subscribe on. But Charles, thanks very much for joining me.
All right, mate. No worries. Enjoy the weekend. Let's hope for 3 points.
Yeah, absolutely. And speak to you again soon. Take care.
All right.
Ta-da.
Bye.
The Tarlhurst End Podcast.
Read the blog
on thetarlhurstend.com.